stop call. My meth is madness and all the block to do what I got to.
Awesome. The family's fine. We loved hanging out with you guys. The kids fucking loved you, and they're not usually like the open.
We took them to a kids park.
Yeah,
they had a great time. They didn't want to leave.
It was awesome. I have some. They met Bugsby. By the way, he passed away recently.
On February 29th, leap day. All right. He was normal during the day, and then at night he got the slobbers, which is when you start foaming at the mouth, hyperventilating. He wouldn't drink, and other things, and he didn't last till, you know, morning light. And I mean, 7.5, and I didn't want to rush him up to an emergency room, owe him $1,000 for the emergency room visit, and then have them ask me for $250 for a cremation fee or something. My friend said, I'm coming from New Jersey with a shovel, and we're going to go, and I'm going to get a cigar. He said cigar box. I said, all right, he's not that fucking tiny. You know what I mean?
He's a big kid.
I actually took him to the East River, and I tossed him way up in the air, and I said, fly away, little angel. And he plopped down into the water. And now whenever we walk by that spot, we know our little angel is sleeping peaceably under the water.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was a great pet.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't want to take him to be on a cold steel table around people he didn't know. He was whimpering like, I'm weak, I'm scared, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand guinea piggies, but I understood those whimpering sounds that were coming out. They were adorable, you know, but they're cute when he's asleep and he's making little whimpering sounds, but when he's awake and he's really weak and he's making those, like, you know, like, something's wrong, you know, like, I don't feel good. And we gave him a cantaloupe. He purred and grabbed it and ate a little of it. I forced water down him. He still walked around. And then when we woke up in the morning, Beatrice petted him and he was on his side and he wasn't moving, but he was still warm. He had just died. But we had him for 7.5 years of great times, one day of suffering. That's not a bad record.
I feel like it was so, like,
and listen, guinea pigs, if you have a guinea pig and he's almost 8 years old when he dies, you did a good job raising him. You know what I mean? Because those guys live to like 3-4 years old.
Four and a half, five.
Man. If you actually take care of them.
And we did take care of our little critter.
Oh yeah, he was well
cared for.
He was. And I'm glad your daughters got to meet him. Your daughters got to meet him, and he was outside with them and was cute. It was really adorable.
So cute.
And that coffee and that pastry was really yummy. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah, there. That place is really good. You know what? If you know what? If we had more time, I would have said, let's just go to that place, sit down outside, and like, you know what? You could have had some Turkish breakfast, which is really yummy. They do eggs with tomatoes, not tomatoes with eggs. Like it's a tomato-y concoction with eggs that actually works really good. It's called Menemen, and it's a hit. I remember talking to the Hispanic workers, the cooks. They're like, I never heard of this stuff before, and look at it. It's yeah, it's good, right? And like neither of us, like none of us knew about this stuff. And he's a baker, and he bakes, as you could tell, his little tushy off. And he's from Turkey, and me and him know each other, so it would have been a nice little breakfast.
That pastry from. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that would have been a nice spot for us to just chilled out and had a nice breakfast. And I wish I could have treated, and if you had more time, it would have been nice.
Next time
to
I
just
come up there, we'll do that. I'll try to plan for.
Yeah, try to make it for like an hour or something at least. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we could definitely, you know, like laugh a lot more.
Yeah, we all had a good time. And like I said, my kids they're not usually real open around people they don't know, and they fucking loved you guys, so it was.
Well, Beatrice looks like a cartoon, so they probably were like, "Oh, there's a cartoon here. We could relate."
we'll be going up there again, so we'll definitely come up and see you guys again. For sure.
Yeah, we would love that. We would love that. Yeah. We'd love that. And you know what? We do our best to make you feel as comfortable as possible. Yes. You know that.
Although the place is tiny.
And you saw how many little parks there were all around my little city dwelling. Remember? Yeah, you were pretty surprised. You like another park on this block? And I'm like, look across the street. There's another park over there.
Yeah, a bunch of gardens, community gardens. I was really
It's the East Village. You know, people are still trying to keep it realistically, like, you know, bohemian or whatever you want to call.
Right.
You know, whatever word you want to choose, artsy, environmentally correct or whatever you want to call it. They want to keep that, you know, that green going. And I like that green.
I like the green, too. I don't like concrete. I like the green.
No. You know, when you're up where you live, there's more trees than there are people.
Yes.
Where I live, there are more people than there are trees.
Sure, yeah.
And that's like a big difference, trust me. And I've lived, like, you know, upstate New York around trees. And when I left my dwelling, I noticed, wow, I don't have 10 seconds to myself without somebody, I have no idea who they are staring at me like, who the fuck am I? That's the small town mentality that I just could not deal with after living in the city for so long. When you go to those small towns and everyone's like, who's that? And I understand it's a small town. There's not much going on. There's a new person there. Who is
they
that
know
person?
Everybody and they don't know who you are. That's not normal. It's
there's something off. I don't know this person. I'm supposed to know everything that's going on here, and I don't know what's going on right now. Yeah, you know, so that's like, you know, that kind of threw me off. I don't think I would give a shit about it now. You know what I mean? But back then I was just like, it was my first experience with it. Like it's funny, I lived for 2 months at a time, like in a rural area when I was young, when my parents used to send me to Yugoslavia, you know, for 2 months at a time. Like, you know, I went there 5 times, I think, which is close to a year, like 10 months of living like that. But everyone minds their own business and no one really wants to know anyone else's business. And it's like so refreshing to it was nice because Beatrice will have to take a shower and put on makeup to just go to the corner store. just to go to the corner store.
Hey.
But when we were in Croatia, my cousins woke us up. No, 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 get up. There's breakfast. And she was wearing the same shirt she went to sleep with. And next thing you know, she's at the beach with that same shirt, you know, like she never got out of it. Like she just didn't
care.
You make
me sound so painful.
No, it's like you didn't care because no one else cared. When everyone else is like picking your looks apart, you start getting a complex about it, especially women and men too. Don't, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I have to be a tough guy. I have to look like macho man. I have to do this. I have to do that. I mean, back there you have slobs. You have, I don't mean slobs. I mean, slobs, S-L-O-B-S. Like guys wearing Speedos and they like weigh 260 pounds and they don't care. I saw a guy wearing boxer shorts instead of a bathing suit, and it had watermelons on it. Beatrice took a picture of it. Just because these are things you're not going to see at a beach in America. Like, or if you are, it's going to be like some weird ass, like, you know.
Town.
Yeah, and this is just how it is normally out there. No one cares. And it's such a relief when, like, you know what? They do care, but about important things, but about unimportant things, about like what shirt you're wearing today or how your makeup looks. Well, if it's at night and there's a party, yeah, they're going to care. But like early in the morning, like you got to be kidding me. They would look at you like, are you retarded? Why'd you put on makeup this morning? You know what I mean? They would have that kind of, you know, mentality. Like there's some, someone touched your brain. You're nuts. You have makeup on your face. It's early in the morning. What is there? A party you're going to? You know what I mean? So it's like that. Like, yeah, they dress up and they have a good time, but most of the time they're, you know,
mental. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, they don't care. They're just, I'm wearing this and that's, and I'm happy. And yeah, you know, I wish America was more like that. I wish America was more like that.
It is somewhere. It just depends on where you go, you know. I don't know, but
yeah, I'm a city boy, so I get a lot of that.
Hey, baby. Yeah. I mean, I'm out in the sticks. Man, you should see, you want to talk about not giving a shit about what you look like, you should go to the local Walmart near me. You'll see plenty of that.
I would feel so refreshed. I would feel so refreshed. Like, oh my God, finally, I'm around people that feel like me. Like, hey, guess what? My t-shirt's inside out. And someone told me about it just a half hour ago, and I still haven't changed it right side in. Or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, you know what? Hey, it's been like that for 6 hours. Why should I change it now?
Right.
You know, and that kind of easygoing lifestyle, I think, helps to an easygoing life. And there's too many people who are caught up in that, you know, militaristic, you know, if you don't challenge yourself every single day, you have been wasting your life. You know what I mean? I mean, how many challenges? I mean, 365 days a year. Let's say you're alive, like, you know, like 65, I'm assuming these Marines are still going to be challenging themselves to do something new every single day when they're 68. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, and I understand that philosophy, challenge yourself, but you got to pick and choose your moments. You know what I mean?
You gotta chill sometimes too. Otherwise you'll just run yourself into the ground.
And yeah.
Stop and smell the roses and enjoy.
Yeah.
Your life, you know.
Yeah. Are you recording right now? I'm sorry.
Yeah. We are recording. I didn't. Yeah, we're definitely recording.
Yeah, we were. You told me that earlier.
Yeah.
My bad.
I'm okay. Probably just gonna leave this all in if that's cool, you guys.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I hope I'm not boring you with this talk, you know, but
all. No.
All right, cool.
This is what we're here for, man.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do like another half an hour this time around and then
sure.
Let's plan this right now. I'm away next weekend.
me and the, I'm taking the wife and kids away, but the 6th and the 7th, I'm free. Do you guys want to do another set of these on the 6th?
There's a possibility that we have to. Oh, I think wait, the 6th and the 7th of April.
Yeah.
No. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Because we're concerned about. We're good. That's later. That's the 13th and the 14th.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So yeah, we're perfect for those 2 days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's pick one of those days, and then we'll do like a longer like.
Well, the 6th is what a Saturday, and the 7th is a Sunday.
The only thing I have to do on the 7th that Sunday is we're going to do a late Easter egg hunt with the kids. But the 6th.
Oh, so let's do it on the 6th. Let's do it on the 6th.
All right. Let's do a long one since we got kind of a late start this time. We'll do a long one that Saturday.
Coolio.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do like an hour and a half, 2 hours or something. So, all right. I'm not even going to do the intro. I'll see if Penguin can just put the intro on the beginning of this whole thing. And we'll just leave all this. We'll just leave all this in. So Paul.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Fantastic. 60 revolutions around the planet. I can't believe I hit
one more time the around big
6-0.
Yeah.
Now
I'm gonna send you a Slav Squad tracksuit.
Oh my god. I'll be squatting like crazy. My god. I'll be squatting waiting for the bus. I'll be squatting on the bus. I'll be squatting getting off the bus.
And I'll make sure to take pictures.
What Beatrice, what size is he? Extra large, maybe?
Large. Okay. Definitely large.
Yeah, because they lost some weight.
Yeah.
You're still pretty tall and lanky, though. So large and large is good.
Yeah, large would definitely do me good.
What, a 34 waist, maybe?
31 now. 32, wow. 31.
All right. It's coming.
Yeah, make it blood red. Blood red, like the Slavs like it. Blood red, like the Slavs like it. Yeah.
Paul doing the Slav squat in a park. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
That'll be better with a tracksuit.
Pictures are so funny.
Yo, so did you see what happened in Russia with the gunmen?
Yeah.
At that concert? My god.
Oh my god.
What do you think about that?
That's the Islamic State that's taking
ISIS is taking responsibility for it. Yeah.
Yeah,
they
said
that smells fishy.
She like said that, right? It smells
For Ukraine, like you know what, they've been bombing your civilians. Why don't you take out 115 their civilians in one big swoop, and then this way you got a kind of a. I know that when you have a war, sides take philosophies. Now, you can have a philosophy like, all right, we're going to go in and steal and take everything and rape all the women. Yes, we'll kill the men, but rape the women. Make sure we gang rape them. All right. And then, you know what? Let's get their cell phones and send the video of them getting raped to their grandmas and their aunts and their mom and their dad and say, here's your fucking wonderful Ukrainian bitch, you motherfuckers. You know, yeah. I could see Russians doing that and Ukrainians saying, hey, what are we going to do? They're not going to do the same thing. Let's just be all about the body count. Mm-hmm. Let's just kill as many as we have to kill twice as many as them. Let's just be about the body count. And one is about pillaging and raping, and the other will be about, you know, killing as many people, as many lives as possible. And when you have a philosophy like that, those Ukrainians end up not just killing Russians, but end up killing Ukrainians because the philosophy starts getting fucking murky.
Yeah,
when it's just kill, it's all about body count.
That's the nature of war, right? It gets.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And I hate that Biden said war has always involved civilians. That's bullshit. That happened in World War One. Prior to that, there were battlefields. You know this, right? Like especially the battle European at. Wars, yeah. Yeah. Those European wars. And even when you had these like wars, like, you know, the Battle of Little Bighorn, the battle, like, yes, you have women, you know, fighting, but and it, you're not talking about this is a new land, and the way the Slavs look at it is like you are Christians and you went to this land that was like the size of like Siberia, like what they conquered all the way to the Pacific, and instead of like, you know what, controlling the native population and teaching them a common language, Russian, you just killed them all and left only like 10% alive. Like, what kind of Christianity is that? That's the way they look at it. And they look at the Spanish, and the Spanish, what, killed 3 out of 10 Native Americans when they were there? I mean, and the Protestants, because of their, you know, I can go to heaven, doesn't matter how much bad I do on this planet while I'm alive, I'll just go to heaven, and you can do the most charitable acts for your entire life, you're still going to hell. You got the wrong skin color, brother. You know what I mean? They had that philosophy, and that philosophy was 9 out of 10 Native Americans getting annihilated. Now, when the Russians in 1776 got their gunpowder weapons and swept across the Urals and all the way to the Pacific Ocean, even onto Alaska, these were people that were able to subdue the natives with gunpowder weapons, just like the English and the Spanish and the Portuguese and the Dutch did, the French and all that.
The Great, right?
That was But you have to understand something. They didn't want to annihilate the native populations. They just wanted them separated so they wouldn't gang up on them again like a horde and like start stealing all their gold again. Like, they remembered those times. They were part of those times. That's their history. Alexander Nevsky, the most important Russian in Russian history, even bigger than Putin. They had a census there, and Alexander Nevsky, Russia's number one man, was nothing but a tax collector for the Mongols. Ivan Terrible, same thing, tax collector for the Mongols. When the Mongols showed up with an army, the Russian army would give them all the gold. One, I think it was Dmitry, and I forgot what year, but one year the Mongol army shows up and says, where's the gold? And the Russian king has his Russian army, and he said, we don't have any gold for you, but we got some bullets. Do you want you want the bullets? And the Mongols were like, I don't think we're getting gold from these guys anymore. And that was the end of the Mongol yoke, the Mongol, you know, power. You know, a system. Ukraine, which is right next to Russia, the Lithuanian princes were the only ones to give any sort of real fight against the Mongol horde. Yes, Kiev was burnt down to the ground. Yes, it was like, you know, they got devastated, but they fought hard enough that they didn't go deeper into Europe. You know, they went down, like, you know, into Hungary and stuff like that, but they didn't go into Germany and France, and Italy was worried the Mongol horde was going to attack Rome. You know what I mean? This army was, I mean, the Mongol Empire is the greatest, biggest empire that ever existed, size-wise. All right? And people could talk about how the Vikings conquered this and that. Vikings conquered tiddlywinks compared to Mongols. And then when the Mongols met these Vikings, or these ancestors of the Vikings. They put such a serious spanking on them. They paid them gold for 200 or somewhat years, 300 years. You know what I mean? But the Ukraine, where Ukraine was, it was not like that. You had a lot of wild, you know, you had Lithuanians, you had Cossacks, you had Poles, you had a lot of different, you had Teutonic order over there. You had Estonians, you had a lot of different people all living together as one. And at one time, Ukraine was known as Lithuania. Now, when you look at Lithuania now, it's just a tiny little country. But back in history, Lithuania was freaking humongous. And there weren't that many Lithuanians, and these Lithuanians probably didn't even make up a majority, but because their princes were the only ones to give any kind of real fight against the Mongol horde, they inherited Ukraine. And then after they inherited the Ukraine, you know what I mean? And the Lithuanians are very proud. I don't know if you know this about them, that they are very proud to be the very last European people to accept Christianity.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I met a Lithuanian. You know, we're the last ones to accept Christianity. You know, like a Hungarian is very proud of their language. Hungarians believe the entire world should just be speaking Hungarian. Like Russian and fucking English are retarded to them. Like Hungarian, and the Hungarian is a language that no one else understands, and they're like, no one has language like ours. Their language is kind of connected to Estonian and Finnish, I believe. It's funny, Estonia and Finland have the same what do you call that song every country has, the Star Spangled Banner,
what is that called?
Whatever that thing is called,
national they have anthem. National anthem.
Yeah, they both have the exact same song as a national anthem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Estonia,
Hungary, and what else?
No, Estonia and Finland. They're right next to each other. Right. I mean, come on, they've been right next to each other. They probably know that song, and they're very proud of it. And instead of saying, "No, this is my song, you can't sing it," "No, this is my song, you can't sing it." How about both you guys sing it and get very proud when you sing it? Because, you know, it'd be kind of stupid to be arguing over a song. But you know what? That is connected to the Hungarian language. Languages like Albanian and Greece have no other branching out. You know, they're just like, no one knows where those languages came from and how the fuck they appeared. All I know is one thing. Whoever created the alphabet, the very first alphabet, the very person who first decided that, hey, let's make up words and have letters with them and came up with an alphabet, whether it be a man, a woman, or a group of people, that is the only alphabet that has ever been created on the planet, because every alphabet after that is nothing but a cheap-ass copy. And that's the truth. Look how our languages have been developed. Everyone's, I mean, English is a Germanic language, and you try to communicate with a German with your English now. But if you have old English, if you know how to speak old English and you showed up in Germany, you'd get along just great. Like, you know, but the English. Yeah, the English, you know, added a bunch of, and I mean, look, they use a Latin alphabet. You know what I mean? It's not an English alphabet and an English language, and it's a Latin alphabet, you know. And like there's a lot of borrowing going on all the time, a lot of stealing, a borrowing, or whatever you want to call it. And that's
because literally everybody conquered England. like over, like everybody in Europe.
I know. Those poor Danes, the Normans,
the Saxons, everybody conquered England at one time.
Yeah, but you know what? They conquered it, but they didn't conquer it like the Normans conquered, you know, Ukraine. They built a big, beautiful city called Kiev, because that's a lot closer. Yeah, that's a lot closer. And you go to Kiev 800 years ago, you would say, wow, this is one beautiful city. You know what I mean? Now, when you go to England, you could say about London, wow, this is one beautiful city. But go there 300-400 years ago, you'd be like, get me out of this dump right now. Right. Because even though they were fighting and conquering, they weren't building and making, you know, they were just fighting. They weren't building like, you know, a great city or a great, you know, something, you know, and that's what makes, I think, mankind really, you know, shine, is when a bunch of people, men, women, you know, I don't want to talk about child labor or anything like that, but just people getting together and creating amazing stuff. My friend went to Hungary and she said, Paul, how did these people build this stuff? It's mind-boggling. You know what I mean? And a lot in Europe isn't how beautiful your city is. Paris is as beautiful as Prague. It's even more beautiful. Yes, it's as beautiful as Prague, or maybe even more beautiful. But 800 years ago, your city was a fucking pig dump. 800 years ago, Prague was like the fucking shining jewel of all cities. Like, so fucking shut the fuck up. It's always about who's got the you know, who's been there first and who's done great things there. The Romans, I mean, look at Rome. It's been around for 2,000 years. Kiev is not a Slavic, even though it's in Ukraine. It's a Viking city. The Vikings built that city and built it. They did. And it is a formidable city. And it's been a beautiful city for the longest time, way longer than Madrid, Paris, and London. I'm just telling you right now.
I didn't know that. I learned
something today. And those are the things that are important to those people. Like, yeah, you have a beautiful city, but our city has been beautiful for do you know how long? You know what I mean? Like, they actually take great pride in that. You know what I mean? And I've been to Prague, and it is gorgeous. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's like, this has got to be like one of the cleanest. But it's like a fairy tale book. Like, you open up a fairy tale book, and that's where you're walking around.
Yeah, I've only seen old pictures, and it looks like a bunch of just old, beautiful buildings in Prague. But
yeah, it's all old and fairy tale looking like.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like something out of a fairy tale or something. It does. It really does.
Yeah, 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 and a lot of like Walt Disney.
I see you guys are recording stuff.
Oh my God, yes. It's so exciting. I'm so fucking hype and giddy about it.
Is that for your solo stuff or what?
Oh no, this is for Reagan Youth.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
We're finally recording the concept record. So it's exciting to finally fucking work on this shit. Yeah. Now, oh, here he's back.
I'm back.
Hey,
you're talking about the recordings.
Yeah, I can't wait to release this last record. We recorded 10 songs. 9 of them came out great. We have 3 more songs to record and fix up that last one, and we're done.
Yeah, we're done. We're pretty much done.
So, who's singing?
Did you hear that voice? Did you hear that voice? That's the voice of a singer.
There you go.
She's the best singer. I mean, literally the best singer I've heard, naturally, like God-given talent, whatever you want to call it. And why should I settle for anything less? And I have a pretty amazing drummer, and I'm going to be playing bass and drums, so we keep it simple. The less people, the less arguing, the less confusion. So just 3 of us, and we've been working at breakneck speed.
The engineer is great. He's worked with some formidable acts prior. He's loving the material, and he's doing it at a great big discount for us. So this way, awesome. When I sell these songs to Cleopatra, I could get a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
No, don't talk business on the radio. I know. Sorry about that.
Cut that out. Cut that part out.
No, you deserve a little chunk of change. There's nothing wrong with it. I
mean, hey, on. They're selling the record at Kmart and Target and stuff like that. So
Amazon.
I mean, what do you want from me at this point? You know what I mean?
The irony of it all.
As long as you give me my chunk of my fair share, I'm happy.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Got to make a living somehow.
She's probably the best option for a singer you got. I mean, I've heard her solo stuff. It's awesome. And then the band you guys did a while back, that was fucking good, too.
You're talking about Dust Angel.
Yeah.
Dust Angel. Yep. I've heard a bunch of that. That's good. It was all good, too. So, I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. And I'm still helping her with her own stuff because, look, when I'm finally going to say goodbye to this planet, not that I plan on doing that anytime soon. Not anytime soon. I'm heading for age 70 next. I already hit 60. So the way I'm looking at it is that I want to create a lot of stuff for her to have. So when she's on her own, she can have her own catalog of songs that can stand up to, like, you know, most acts out there, or the people she's trying to reach, she'll reach with her material. That's what I'm trying to do for her, and I'm trying to do this last record for Dave to give him a different ending. And I love working with music, and that's all I do is I either work with music or I hang out with this cookbook guy who takes me out for big, beautiful dinners. I love this guy, Noah Sheets.
He's writing a punk rock cookbook.
Shout out to Noah Sheets. I like that idea.
That's cool. Yeah, he's reached out to me a few times. I've been talking to him too a little bit. So, yeah.
All right.
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny? He said, you know, I think I might do a whole book on you, and the other punk rockers will just get their own chapters, but you get your own book. And I was like, why? He's like, because those guys never moved, and they always ate the same fucking thing. And he's like, you started with the Italian, then you went to the Jewish, then you went to the Ukraine Polish, and now the Haitian, and you were married to a Southerner, and you went to Croatian, you got that food, you know what I mean? He's like, my God, you have some. Yeah, he's like, you have like a very palette of different, you know, where I was brought up. Different varieties of food, and I indulge in all of them. It's funny, he reached out to Dave's girlfriend, Susan. He said, when you were living in the city, what was your favorite food? And she said, Dave loved po' boys. And that's true. He was always pushing those catfish po' boys. Come on, Paul, get one with me. Come on. You got to try it. It's really good. They really spoke to him, she said. But when they lived together in the city, she said, and this was very disappointing, we ate a lot of pizza. Like, oh, how's that going to help a cookbook? We ate a lot of pizza.
You can't go wrong with pizza in New York. You know what I mean?
And it's like, you know what? I'm sure he ate food when he's growing up, but he's not around to say it. And his relatives will know what his parents ate, but they won't know what he himself ate when he was young. And you're like, you know, his father went to a Polish restaurant. Did he bring Dave there? Because if he didn't, don't bother mentioning it. You know what I mean? It's like, I think he wants to know what Dave ate, not what Dave's father ate, or, you know, what his cousins would eat or something like that. What the hell did that guy? And you would think he would have a varied diet, you know, but he didn't. And you know what? I wish I could say I love Tex-Mex. I wish I could say, oh my God, California Mexican food is the best food out there. And I told him I indulged in it, and it's my favorite food because I went out there tons of times with the band. And when I ate out there, I was wowed. I was wowed because of the freshness of the produce. I was wowed because of the recipes and the, you know, foods that you don't normally get out east. And I, you know, in the cooking and the preparation and all that. And I mean, I wouldn't move either if the food was like that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't move either. But I, you know, that's funny because they didn't move. They just get chapters. Me, because I just moved all around the city, just the city, you know, Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, fuck Staten Island, and Bronx, Queens, Manhattan, that's it. You know, moving around those places is giving you enough varied food. My God, I got you a pastry from a Turkish baker that makes Turkish breakfast. That's fucking great.
I gained fucking 3.5 pounds from it, but it was fucking delicious.
It was very decadent. He's very, very flaky, very decadent.
Yeah.
I remember you saying, wow, this tastes great. And I said, I know. That's why I bought it, because it tastes great. But yeah, I can't wait to do these recordings, and as soon as they're out, I'll definitely debut some of these songs with you.
You'll be one of the first ones to get the top vinyl.
You'll be one of the first five to get a vinyl.
Yes.
Oh, I appreciate that. That means a lot to
me. Yeah, definitely. And hopefully, you know what, the record does well. I know the guy.
It will.
I know the guy who is at Cleopatra, who really wants me to do this record, is really excited and really trusts the living shit out of me. And we do have one song, me and Beatrice as Reagan Youth, coming out. To get out to California, I needed money, so I asked my record label for an advance, and they said, fuck the advance, why don't you just record a Stone song for us, and we'll give you $500. So I said, sure. So they gave me $500, and I flew out there, and I recorded a Stone song, and it's Rocks Off, and Beatrice sings it, and the guy said, I wonder if Mick Jagger ever hears this, he's probably going to come in his pants, because he always wanted to be Tina Turner. it's true, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know what, when that comes out, I'm actually going to be very happy to hear Beatrice singing alongside me in Reagan Youth for like the first time, even though it's just a cover song.
Yeah.
Even if it is a cover song for a compilation record, I don't care.
I know it's going to drive people crazy to hear me sing these songs. It's just like, why there's a girl singing Reagan Youth songs? It's not because Reagan Youth.
The guy can't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's no longer with us. Hasn't been on this planet for the past, 30 something years?
Oh, God, I don't know. 94. Long time. Yeah, 30 year anniversary.
Yeah, man. And oh my God, that's really back in 94?
94.
Wow, you hear this?
He died July 3rd, 1994.
Wow. So yeah, this is a big tribute to him.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
That's bullshit anyway. There's tons of punk singers. I mean, Jesus fuck. There's girl punk singers. There's tons of them. So.
Right, yeah. But there's not a black female fronting
a political band.
Yes, exactly. So controversial. It's got
craft.
Exactly.
Well, hey, let's talk about something a little bit related, and then we'll like wrap this up. Is this like an old punk thing? Like, okay, yes. So my question is like, what is punk, and what do you think of like new punk? And is it the old heads that are always like, man, I don't like anything new. You know, if it wasn't recorded in 81, you know, it's not punk or whatever the thing. What do you think about all that?
I think I think it's all punk. And I think a lot of times old timers will just hate on the kids because it's their time. And you know what? They just want everyone to just remember their time endlessly. And it shouldn't be like that. And look, I'm putting out a record of, after like, I don't know, a third record after like 30 something years, maybe, I don't know, 40 years, what, 1989 to 2024, like whatever the years are. I don't give a fuck what it is. All I know is that when I release this record, it's going to be three chords, because that's what punk is to me. And that's what punk was to me. And these songs are three chords, not all of them.
Three chords you know and love. Yep.
Yeah. And the same three chords that are in the verse are the same three chords that are in the chorus. You know what I mean? It's that simple punk rock that everyone loved. Second part, the catchy chorus is the most important part of the song. If the song doesn't have a catchy chorus, it's not a punk song, let alone a Reagan Youth song. For these things to pass as Reagan Youth songs, they have to be three chords. They have to be catchy choruses. I cannot write lyrics like David, but I will try to make the lyrics as precise and as great as possible. But I know it's kind of hard to do something someone else did so very well. You know what I mean? And I wish he was, I wish I had that skill that he had. But I do know how to write lyrics, and I wrote my own lyrics. And all right, like for the serial killer, I don't want to mention his name. I don't want to give him any props. I don't like, I'm sure he knows all about the band, The Serial Killer. I don't want to mention it. But because this album is based on the life and times of Dave and Surgeon back in the 80s, the Misfits were kind of big. So we have that three chord song, and it's called Necrophilia, and it's like a Misfit song, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like Reagan Youth doing a Misfit song, because they don't want to give any props to the real serial killer. And if they can't understand that, then you know what? I can't help it. You know what I mean? But and the last song on the album, Altercation at St. Peter's Gate, is because David committed suicide. And if you commit suicide, you're not allowed to go to heaven. And David wants to get into heaven because his mother and his girlfriend just got there like earlier in the week. So he gets together a bunch of people who committed suicide, like Abby Hoffman and Jeffrey Epstein's not going to be there. But, you know, or like if I had like a little like a video made of it, have like Darby Crash or just like rockers or, you know, like people who commit suicide and want to get into heaven. And St. Peter's like a scumbag, you know, skinhead bouncer, and they just overwhelm him and he gets into heaven, and that's the end of the album.
That's awesome.
And that's the way I look at it.
That's a good
and
one.
That's my little story, you know, in honor of my old singer, Dave Insurgent.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
So what is punk to you, man? Like,
punk to me is going against the mainstream. Punk is like, I know when I heard mainstream punk, I thought it was a bigger oxymoron than Jumbo Shrimp or any of those other things. But like, honestly, punk rock is supposed to outrage, is supposed to shock. It's like not uglify, but to show people that, you know what, we're not going to dress in your boring, you know what, 9-to-5, you know what, Mr. Normal bullshit. We're going to wear what we want, and we don't care how you look at it. And the outrage of the look was what made punk so important, I thought. When you saw people with mohawks and spikes and all that, and they're hanging out, it definitely sends a signal. But then when you go to Hot Topic and you see people buying stuff like that, you start realizing, wow, what's happened to this punk rock? And is it really punk rock anymore? And I thought punk rock was always supposed to go against the mainstream. Always. You know what I mean? It's like if it's like, and I understand like some bands like, listen, I don't give a shit. I want to make it. I don't care if I'm mainstream. I'm going to do it. That's fine. But you shouldn't call yourself punk anymore. You shouldn't go under the moniker of punk. Or I think the biggest oxymoron band out there of all time is Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine while you're under contract with the machine.
Right. Was it
Sony Records? What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, Sony Records. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's like saying, hey, you know what? Like bitch slap Hitler, and meanwhile your uncle is Goebbels, and your godfather's Heinrich Himmler. You know what I mean? Like, does it really mean that much? You know what I mean? And if they spoke up more about not just general things, but actually spoke up against their own, you know, like instances, like, look, we're raging against the machine, and yet we're caught in the devices of this machine. You know what I mean? They could have been a little bit more open about it. But they seem to not lose any sleep over it, it would seem.
But we don't know that for a fact.
I was very disappointed that they won the when the Sex Pistols were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to a band member, they all decided not to go. Okay. Rage Against the Machine, all the band members decided not to go, except for the guitar player, Tom Morello.
Yeah,
that's his name. Yeah. And it's like, are you kidding? You know, you went to Harvard, and now you're going to the Grammys after you worked for Sony, and you Rage Against the Machine.
Sounds
it's
like a whole lot
confusing.
Of
machine. Confusing.
Yeah, it sounds like a whole bunch of hogwash. I mean, there's something insincere about it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Beatrice on the phone because I want her to talk to you for a little while.
Talk.
Okay. What else?
You got to get used to talking.
What else, sir?
We'll wrap this up here in a minute, but
okay.
When do you guys expect to have the album done?
Done? Well,
June. I'll hand it in.
Realistically,
I'll hand it in June, and hopefully it'll be out by like fall or winter.
Yeah. Okay. Realistically speaking, yeah, I feel like by like June it should be like complete. You know, because it's very close to being done, you know.
Yeah.
So by June,
you know,
and by the fall. Yeah. You finally have hopefully you have the vinyl in your hand.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys going to be able to play some shows?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, yeah,
I don't know, because I know Paul, you know, because of his condition, you know, it's always like a one-off. So right. maybe
definitely not a tour, but maybe
some, not a tour, but maybe like a show in New York somewhere, uh-huh. You know, do keep in mind, I still want to continue working on this, you know, side project. So I don't want to,
you know,
I would like to put out a album like on vinyl eventually.
Cool.
After we're done with this project, you know, because all my focus has been on Reagan Youth. Like, I feel like it's like 24/7, you know,
a ton of pictures are recorded. And so I know that's probably a lot of time.
Yeah. Tweaking lyrics here and there, and like, you know, encouraging Paul to pick up the guitar to go over songs with me. You know, I want this album to be like on, you know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah.
I
mean,
and I'd like to, And also, I'd like to put out a visual as well, an animation that goes with this concept album. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Something like, I don't know if you ever seen Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's a good reference to we're kind of doing, you know?
What are you just going to throw that on YouTube, or are you going to do like a DVD set?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I don't know.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yes. Yes. Like if it's on like a streaming platform, hey, that'd be amazing.
That would be very cool. I would watch that.
Oh, it
probably wouldn't be hard to get it on a streaming platform either. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how all that works, but
I don't know how that works neither. Like this is like my first time actually thinking of like putting out like a visual that's animation, so it's like a big different ball game. You know, normally I do like the, you know, with the side project, I, you know, we released music videos and we just put them up on YouTube.
Right.
And that's that. But with like a Reagan Youth project, you know.
Yeah, that's
a whole different ball game. That's a
whole different story. You might really want to put that on a streaming service. I think people would really dig that.
Yeah,
hey, you could do a couple of shows and open, you know, do your solo act for the opener, and then bam, Reagan, you.
True. You're giving me ideas.
Fucking, yeah, I bet people would fucking love that. So.
Yeah. We work on it, but right now let's just focus.
I'm excited. Fucking new Reagan Youth. I'm pretty excited about that. So
yeah,
be an awesome year. So
yeah, we're working our butts off. And another sweet thing is, in between each song, except for the first one, there's a spoken word where Paul speaks, and he would like, you know, say a thing or two about what the song is about in the most poetic way possible.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's going to be different.
With the most beautiful acoustic guitar you're going to hear behind you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my God, we're like spilling all the tea here.
I know. You're giving it all away. Well, we got a little
interview for everybody. You're a good interview.
You're working on excitement for the project.
I kind of want this project to... I mean, yeah, we share photos and videos and stuff of like what's happening and stuff, but I kind of want it to be secretive, like, you know, like top secret. I don't want people knowing that I'm singing the song. So that's,
I wish we could.
Scary. I don't want to disappoint. I want the music to do all the talking.
I wish we could play you like maybe like 20.
I could send him a song.
If we send you a song, you'll play maybe like 20 seconds of it or 30 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, just don't share it with friends. It's for you.
Yeah.
All right, we'll send it to you.
Send that to me. Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, send it to him now.
Yeah. I'll send it to you right now.
Send it to you now, when you could play for your listeners like 20 seconds of it or a half hour of it.
Send me your email.
No, not a half hour, but I'm only kidding. Like half a minute, 30 half seconds.
Not 30. Just a quick teaser.
30 minutes, not 30 seconds.
I'll send you my email, and then we'll put it at the... Oh, no, we lost you again. God damn it.
That sucks.
All right.
We'll
wrap it up right here, and then he's going to send me a part of his new song, and we'll put it on the end.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, do you want to do a little outro?
Little outro. Well, as you guys all heard, that was Paul Cripple and Madame St. Beatrice. Wonderful people. And they've got new Reagan Youth coming out soon, so look for that. And everybody be excellent to each other. Peace.
All right, cool. Sounds good. I was listening to the thing, so no need to do too much to fill me in. They're gonna send a little clip, and
yeah,
you know, I'm a little slow on do. I'll get to this when I can. You know, with the Ramadan thing, but about half up there they are.
Okay. Yeah. Let them in.
So sorry about that. I'm using my phone. My phone is like a little mine better sucks. Than Paul's. Mine sucks. Yeah, Paul's phone sucks.
All right, well, we're wrapping it here. You guys want to just say goodbye to the audience? And
yes. Go ahead, Paul.
Listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Sec is a great guy, and I love doing these interviews, and I hope you guys tune in for more of them.
Yes.
All right? Enjoy your life, and remember, every day is worth living.
For real.
Peace.
All right. Peace, guys. Take care.
All right, take care.
I'll give you a shout.
Okay. Send me that email.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Later.